now hibernates in his former bunker.
Tonight's essay in the series The World Turned Upside Down was written and presented by Jana Schulzer, and the producer was Julia Johnson. This series was first broadcast last November. Tomorrow night, Ivan Kitka reflects on the importance of cars in communist Czechoslovakia. This is BBC Radio 3. It's now 11:15 and time for Late Junction with Max Reinhardt.
About the whole world, worry about your own backyard. You worried about the reds and you all scared of the greens. You worried about places, mama, you ain't even never seen. No, baby, you make it much too hard. Stop worrying about the whole round. About the whole world, mama. Worry about your own backyard. All the worrying you do, honey, don't do nobody no good. I wish you'd stop worrying about your own doggone neighborhood. Lord, baby, you make this much too hard. Stop worrying about the whole world.
I'll give it a go. I'll call you if I've got any trouble, so keep an ear out, yeah? Thanks a lot.
Yeah, shit, this isn't east. No, it is back the other way. Fuck. It's really weird.
South of London Drift by Icarus. That's sound artist duo Oliver Baun and Sam Britton by the other name. It was recorded primarily on the South Downs in June 2004 with a European Cup match, Croatia versus England, on the radio. As Sam wrote, the top of the South Downs is by far the best spot to get a clear perspective on such matters. I'm Max Reinhardt, and that was one of two pieces of music from the Deep South to welcome you to Lake Junction tonight. We started with a tune from much further south and well over to the west. Worry About Your Own Backyard from the South Memphis String Band. That's from their new album, Home Sweet Home, that just jumped off the wall into my basket on a visit to the Down Home Music Store, and then it spent weeks on the car stereo. More southern fare in a moment. Southern Jack from the Carolina Twins, hillbilly stars of radio and record back in the late 1920s. But first, a 12th century song by Al Rusafi, in praise of his home, Rusafa, in Valencia. Here it is performed by Capella de Ministres.
موصلين أحن إليها وما لي بها وأين السري من الموصل
Don't you drop them, Dave.
Ham and thank you.
Golden by the Kit Downs Trio. Kit Downs on piano, Callum Gourlay on double bass and James Madron on drums. It's from their album, Golden. They're nominees for the 2010 Mercury Prize, and Kit himself was the BBC Jazz Rising Star Award winner in 2008. So it looks like there ain't no stopping him now. Robert Ashley's improvement on Leaves Linda is part of the major series of what he describes as operas for television, inspired by the daily soap operas on US TV. I played a couple of extracts from it a couple of months back on Late Junction, and Kevin O'Reilly emailed in, totally hooked, and demanded another instalment. So, let's recall the story so far. Abandoned by her husband Don at a highway rest stop, Linda and her son Junior Jr. managed to blag their way onto a plane home after a good deal of trauma and adoption of aliases. Now it is some time later, and Linda has happily embarked on a relationship with an Italian tap dancer named Mr. Payne. Are you with me so far? Concentrate. Here she is reflecting on how her new love might have started to influence the events in her life long before they even met. The contents of her purse, scene 9.
Let us see the contents of a purse in retrospect.
This is the kind of talk that got me through. It is so full of something or other, little injections of regret.
Amazing as she is. To make a silly joke, as it were, as if to provide, as you know. But they are wrong, as we say.
It is so. It is too big to have been thought out, detail upon detail, never repeating itself. It agitates the air. I heard it beside me first. This is Linda speaking. As the airline ticket counter agent questioned me, how can we conceal our feelings? Enchantment left. Separation grew in us. I heard myself saying these things to a stranger. I was almost in tears. Then I heard him beside me, speaking to me.
The indifferent speech naturally doesn't impress me at all. You hear that stuff all the time. I couldn't believe it.
I was almost in tears, and this guy had stopped to insult me. Right at the airline ticket counter, I dropped my purse. Everything came out, and that was everything. Everything else gone, you know where. And what's left scattered all over the terracotta, and this guy is saying about my indifference speech. You hear that stuff all the time. And then he took me by the arm. I was about to fall on my knees. You know how women are made to act silly in all those stupid films. I hadn't made a move. I was waiting for my heart to break. I saw myself scrambling around on the floor, trying to pick up all that precious trash. And then I felt his hand on my arm, and the picture disappeared. Everything that had gone wrong in my life up to that moment disappeared. I lost the past of problems, like some sort of royalty, and then I watched the airline ticket counter agent come out from behind the counter, right over the luggage scales clumsily, and start picking up my things. He was not in a good mood. He hadn't intended to do what he did, but he found himself picking up my things and apologizing. I had the feeling that Mr. Payne had just taken control of the idea that I had projected with me in it, and erased it, and come up with a new one that had the airline ticket counter agent picking up my things. This uncanny feeling came to me more than once when we were together. He would rearrange things as if in the power of his imagination. No, obviously, or I should say that now it's obvious. Remembering that experience of the intensity being directed, of things being moved around, being arranged according to some plan, it is obvious what had happened. It is obvious why my things were on the terracotta. It is obvious why I dropped my purse. He memorized the contents. Why, I asked myself so many times, why did he need to know? Why, with his commanding presence, was the theater of the accident required? The drama of the tears that had to come inevitably, why not just make friends and ask? Or, in the style of the secret agent, make friends and then, at the right moment, open the purse and study. Why involve so many unknowns? One hesitates to say, in his case, imponderables. Anyway, I learned this power of his only later. First, there was the tangible, magic of his presence, we sat together on the plane. Bravely, I had recovered poise. This was just hours after I had emerged from the moment of the parting to look at the desert of the setting sun alone. When I told him this later, when I told him what had happened to me, and I was going on just about this way, and with these words, he said, "It's always setting." He knew everything. It was as if he had memorized the contents of a vessel that had in it all of experience. We talked about everything. I thought the reason was mine. I thought that having found him out, a person who wanted to know everything, I had found a weakness. Why do we do that? And so I decided to talk about everything. I moved the conversation pointer as fast as I could. Overconfidence, they used to call it. He brought this out in people. The predator has the victim in sight. I wonder what it would be like to play tennis with one of the great ones who had decided to make the returns all playable. We talked about everything. And everything was there in place. An Alexandrian library for one person at a time. Must be read here. No checkouts, no exceptions. I got drunk on the abundance. Ball bearings, no problem. A history of ball bearings in a few sentences, as if from scripture. Electrical power, no problem. Where the great dams are and who made them and what they do. Ancient migrations, no problem. Whence and where from the past, in such detail and with such understanding that the past became indistinguishable magically from the future, and then we landed. And I pretended I was headed home to something. And then after a decent period of days, of weeks, of months, whatever, he called and we dropped the pretense. And we dropped the pretense. And what happened then? Where have those days gone? I have forgotten, and he showed me how never to forget. It began as a game between us. Let me guess what's in your purse. For everything I get right, I get a kiss. I'll bet a dozen, which is modular. We made a picnic, the two of us, on a Sunday afternoon, in the shade of a box elder near the river. I asked him why we took his precious Sunday afternoon of golf. He said that we should marry. I could learn to play golf, and we could spend every Sunday afternoon together forever. I think he said, through eternity, I said I didn't think that I could learn to play golf. He said, it's just like what's in your purse. It's the same thing. It needs going out now and then to make sure it's all there. That's the only reason we do it. The scale is different, but that's all. Every position over the whole course, every consideration is knowable as a fact. On a certain Sunday we retrace a certain number more or less. That collection is a fact, a larger fact, composed of smaller facts. And to play golf with enjoyment, each larger fact. And all of the smaller facts must be remembered as exact experiences, in order that we don't wander around in uncertainty, as if the game were mostly chance, as if the responsibility were too big to bear, and if I knew more about the way we express things to each other, maybe I could finally understand and explain his and. As if leaping from one star to another, and finally the accumulation of exact experiences, remembered exactly, becomes wisdom even before all of the infinite possibilities have been exhausted, and you discover that the wisdom, as if a gift, is usable in other ways. You can use it in other places to know every fact of golf. In the experience of playing, it is to know with the same certainty how people beget people, how the car with the rumble seat is made to run, and what's in your purse, for instance. I was a little frightened. Did I dare suggest that he knew what was in my purse from the very beginning? Then it occurred to me, finally. I mean, finally I got it, and the fear went away. That if my purse had changed its contents how many times since the moment at the airline ticket counter, he would be betting kisses on the past recapture, only in a snapshot memory. So the purse had fallen at the airline ticket counter in order that we could get to know each other quickly, and both of us were at fault finally for why it fell. The golf course, the contents of the purse, and the infinitely complicated recircling, retracking, retracing, but finally finite series of points on the route of the car with the rumble seat indeed had a common pattern, and to know one was to know them all. In every moment of the ever-changing world, as long as you have a place to start, start at the airline ticket counter. Take a reading, compare it to the pattern, and then, months later, you can bet kisses that you know it all. That evening, having not played golf, Mr. Payne took Junior and me to supper at his mother's house.
The Contents of Her Purse, from Robert Ashley's Improvement, an opera for television. That was Jacqueline Humbert as Linda, telling us how, with hindsight, significant events in your past can be seen to have been influenced by lovers you have yet to meet in your future. You're listening to Lake Junction on BBC Radio 3. I'm Max Reinhardt. More vintage hillbilly music in a moment, in the form of a somewhat risque but by no means top-shelf song, Ain't Gonna Do It No More, recorded by the Three Backer Tags in 1931. But right now, with a much more innocent lyric concerning the handsomeness of fine horses and lovely girls with dark eyes, the first of two songs for tonight from the Altai Republic, which lies in Siberia to the northwest of Kazakhstan. It's sung by a young Telangit band from the village of Ulagan. In the sky, there is a star.
Thank you. the floor. Stepped on a tack that was sticking in the floor. Stepped on a tack that was sticking in the floor. And I bumped my nose on a knob of the door. Lord, I ain't gonna do it no more. And she called the law. Mary woke up and she called the law. Mary woke up and she called the law. The next stop I made was the city hall. Lord, I ain't gonna do it no more.
Thank you.
Isabel Moretti playing the final trio Zitti Zitti from Rossini's Barber of Seville, adapted and transcribed for harp by Nicolas Charles Boxart, the early 19th century composer, harp virtuoso, thief, swindler, exile, bigamist and seducer. Quite a CV. Here's another harpist, Savanne. There's less notoriety in her CV to date, but she's got time yet. Singer, often dancer, harpist, grandchild of Armenian refugees and Lancashire coal workers. Tomorrow night you can hear her on our latest Lake Junction session, on which she and her sister Nina join forces with fellow harpist Ruth Wall. But this is We're Watching You from Big Ears, her debut album, inspired by a spell of partial deafness and released right now.
Security. That's the name of a photo shoot. So smile for the cameras. They know your name. They want your autograph. Sign XX or XY. Sign XX or XY. Your dedicated followers. They will watch you day and night. Day and night. Hey, 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 hey. Paparazzi celebrate as you demonstrate. It's your right to speak. It's their right to capture. Silly phrase, after all. Because, you know, you're going to pay for it.
Society breeds, it's like sobriety kills the reality that feeds off the air that we breathe. There is no need to deceive through the eyes of the holder, I can see. Is it your Nike sneakers or fillers that breaches the code of conduct that features in stores? Collecting salaries like whores on low calories, both trying to marry me with fashionable jeans so expensive. Can't tell the seam apart from the need to laugh at a gift, a form of art. Switch the norm from light to dark. Don't you know Adam and Eve draped leaves right from the start? It's hard to understand why you don't wear what you like. You wear what you think that they think is tight. And I don't think it's right to find replicas of Jennifer's all over the world. Every boy and girl has fake as extensions of curls. Those keeping it real and those chilling on curbs. Keep flossing that shit by spurning these words. Cause popular culture's a bitch is what I
write. If I'm different, never judge me by your book. See what I wear and how I think might leave the in crowd shook. Like the fingerprint of a crook. You can immediately make that distinction by just one look. It's like society conditioned you to be a clone. Cause when your seeds grow up, they lack a mind of their own. And the media perpetuates the situation with advertising rituals and the exclamation.
So many social ills society brings. It's like sobriety kills the reality that feeds off the air that we breathe. There's no need to deceive through the eye of the beholder, I can see. So many social ills society breeds. It's like sobriety kills the reality that feeds off the air that we breathe. There's no need to deceive through the eye of the beholder, I can see.
The possible chronicle, multicultural particle, psychological visual, the typical individual. Don't want to border their oracles, want to stick up their nostrils. Gullible, one-syllable, mediocre individuals. If you don't fit the conventional, essential editorial like cartoon pictorials. Individual development ain't affordable, so this is in memorial of people with hair in all the wrong follicles. Probable cause as society flows, caught in the clothes can't be original, of course. I got a divorce from Levi's Joes and musical whores. Media is the source when it comes to mental sores and public applause. Knowledge of self is personal wealth. We need to question ourselves and kick Pink Panther, Mickey Mouse snobs with big mouths below their mother.
That's what I'm saying. Deviation from the norm is similar to navigation in a storm. This mainstream slave ship is sailing, and before long you will mourn when your individuality is gone. So caught up in material bullshit that the thought of being real seems putrid. Whatever else you hear seems muted or strange, cause imitation's the appeal. Me a fear for change.
So many social ills society breeds. It's like sobriety kills the reality that feeds off the air that we breathe. There's no need to deceive through the eye of the beholder, I can see. So many social ills society breeds. It's like sobriety kills the reality that feeds off the air that we breathe. There's no need to deceive through the eye of the beholder, I can see.
Social Ills by Gedessa, the trio of hip-hop vocalists from Cape Town's notorious Cape Flats townships. Before that, Jonas from Robotnik, Rio's elite electronic combo featuring Stephen Casse, Eduardo Manso, Bruno Di Lullo and Rafael Rocha. Don't forget you can find a complete listing for this programme and every Late Junction on the Radio 3 web pages. And now, Metal from Zenaki's massive work, Pleiades, performed by Les Percussions de Strasbourg.
Thank you.
Metal from Pleiades by Xenakis. Xenakis wrote that music is not a language. Any musical piece is akin to a boulder with complex forms, with striations and engraved designs atop and within, which men can decipher in a thousand different ways without ever finding the right answer or the best one. Which brings us to one of Heinrich Schütz's last compositions, dating from 1669. This is his Deutsches Magnificat, with Martin Luther's vernacular translation, sung here by the 16.
Art in blues heaven, blues head be thy name. Thy bluesdom come, thy blues be done, in blues earth as it is in blues heaven. Give us this day our daily blues, and forgive us our three passing chords, as we forgive those who pass three chords against us. And lead us not into the temptations, but deliver us from craftsmen. For thine is the bluesdom, the blues power, and the blues glory, forever and ever. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
I got a mean red spider, and she's been webbing all over town. I got a mean red spider, and she been webbing all over town. I'm gonna give me a mean black spider, so I can tear her car well down. I got a break coming, no news for me tomorrow. I got a break and show coming, no need for me tomorrow. That's such a mean red spider, she breaking up my happy home. All right, stop that stuff, man. Go ahead, man. Thank you. If I don't go crazy, I will surely lose my mind. Well, you know, if I don't go crazy, I will surely lose my mind. That's just a mean red spider, and she just bother me all the time.
We've definitely reached Blues Central on tonight's Lake Junction. That was Muddy Waters with Mean Red Spider. It's from the Muddy Waters Country Blues volume of World Music Network's new series, Rough Guide to Jazz and Blues Legends. Before that, the definitive blues moan, Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground, from Blind Willie Johnson, a lost genius who died of malaria in the burned-out ruins of his home. You also heard Billy Jenkins' Blues Prayer, and there'll be more from Billy and his Voice of God Collective later. But first, let's revel in the Robert Johnson volume from the same series, which is hopefully bringing some of the key music of the 20th century to new generations. And that, of course, is what our significant music critics and radio presenters do for us. So this seems like a good place to remember Robert Sandel, who did so much to bring new music and fresh vision to us all in his journalism and here on Radio 3 with Mixing It and Lake Junction. Captain Beefheart was one of his great loves, so check Robert Johnson's guitar arrangement on this and you'll hear the DNA of the Captain's Sure Enough and Yes I Do. If I Had Possession Over Judgment Day. Thank you. High Street Saturday from Billy Jenkins with his Voice of God Collective. That was from their debut album Sounds Like Bromley from 1981, and at last it's available on CD or download. Here's another track from that Telengit band from the village of Yulagun we heard earlier, Riding on the Sorrel Steed.
J'ai beau fermer les yeux, j'ai encore ces visions de corps avachis sur le sol de la route de la perdition. Et j'ai hurlé comme après ma circoncision. J'suis entouré de fantômes, où est-ce la mort qui fait apparition? J'en ai puissé dans mon lit, sommeil interrompu. Et j'ai du mal à en parler à bâton rompu. Je m'en souviens. J'étais pris de camp, un talon sur la tempe, à implorer que les enfants décampent. Ils ont voulu nous humilier à travers nos descendances, que les ovaires de nos femmes soient souillés de leurs semences. Depuis ce jour, j'ai que notre famille est maudite. La mort gravite autour de nous et je le sens. Après les pillages, je suis retourné au village. J'ai abandonné Lucienne, les enfants et mon pays d'ancrage. Prétextant que l'armée chassait les Kassaïens. Mais ce que j'ai fui m'a rattrapé par un autre moyen. Preuve en est, même si le pays est divisé, mon fils aîné de 13 ans est rentré dans une de leurs unités. Pardonne ma lâcheté. Au pays de la devise et la débrouillardise, on n'a pas attendu eBay pour faire du troc. Je passe du chantier à la cuisine, du ciment au manioc. Faut investir dans l'avenir, comme dit le Front commun. Je répare un camion pour faire dans les transports en commun. Je viendrai chez vous dès que mes papiers seront fixés. T-shirt à l'effigie de Lumumba et leur faire oublier Tché. Je rêve de jouer au loto, boire le sel bière du temps de l'Union minière et du MPR. Visitez votre Matongué, chaussée d'XL. Donne-moi de tes nouvelles par téléphone ou par mail. Que Dieu te garde, tu restes dans mes prières, je t'embrasse.
Playwright, producer and musician Gibson Kente with Saduva from the ever-inspiring three-volume compilation Next Stop Soweto on Strut Records. Before that, a Congolese-Belgian hip-hop revelation, Baloji, with Genèse 89. More from him tomorrow night, along with the August Late Junction session, which features, as ever, a first-time collaboration, this time between Ruth Wall and Savan. Well, that's just about it for Late Junction tonight. For full details of all the music I've played, check the Radio 3 web pages, where you can also listen again to this programme over the next 7 days. I'm Max Reinhardt, and I'm going to leave you tonight with what sounds like a Sun Ra-inspired piece, Acao Dinamica ao Cacador by the Orquestra de Tambores de Algoas. But before that, Harmony 22 for cello and piano by John Cage, with Friedrich Galverke on cello and Mark Noop on piano. Good night.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain, and a piece now that must have introduced thousands of Western listeners to the beauties of Russian church music. For Russians, the ancient chants of the Orthodox Church down the centuries acquired an iconic significance, as Tchaikovsky discovered to his cost when he wrote his own harmonisations of them, the end results meeting initially with cries of interference from the ecclesiastical establishment. But when Rachmaninoff wrote his Vespers in 1915, he didn't have quite the same problem, perhaps because Tchaikovsky had, to an extent, paved the way. And it wasn't long before settings as reverent as Rachmaninoff's themselves became icons, venerated witnesses of a tradition that endured through times of trouble. This performance of Rachmaninoff's Vespers, or All Night Vigil as it's really called, was given at the 2008 Proms, Paul Hillier conducting the Estonian Philharmonic Chamber Choir.